Thanksgiving was only 8 days away. Michelle, who taught the Bible in a midweek children's program, decided that she wanted to ask her preschoolers about the upcoming holiday. And she thought it would be effective to have the class playfully correct some wrong ideas about Thanksgiving. Now, let me see, Michelle said. Thanksgiving, that's the day when we think about all the stuff we have and how we want to have more things than anybody else has and how we don't care about anybody but ourselves. And all the preschoolers were going, no, no, no. Then one little guy called out, that's not Thanksgiving, Miss Michelle, that's Christmas. Are you thankful? If so, why? Why should you be thankful? Perhaps you're thankful to God today for family, for friends, for good health, for food, clothing, shelter, for things in life just going your way lately. Those are good reasons to be thankful. The fact is that all of us here today have many, many reasons to be thankful. In fact, someone has suggested that in light of God's many blessings, it makes more sense to have a grumpy day just once a year rather than a Thanksgiving day. Wouldn't that be interesting? Just one day a year, we could devote ourselves to being as unhappy, ungrateful, cranky, miserable, grumpy as we could possibly be. Now, it could be that there's a few of you out there who are already observing Grumpy Day frequently, even though it's not a national holiday yet. It's pretty easy to be thankful when everything is going well in your life. I'm far more impressed, however, when I see a person who is able to be thankful, even though there's obviously a lot that's gone wrong or is going wrong in his or her life. Doesn't that kind of person impress you? David, one of the kings of Israel, wrote most of what we now call the Book of Psalms. And many of those psalms express a high level of thanksgiving and gratitude. David had a great life. In fact, you could say he had a highly blessed life. But David's life wasn't easy. He had some major problems and issues that he was forced to tackle. David also had a very eventful, exciting life. But his life wasn't peaceful or tranquil either. He had significant turmoil and tests along his life's journey. And today I want to look with you at Psalm 138 because it's a wonderful expression to God of thanksgiving written by David. And if you would, turn with me in your Bible to Psalm 138. If you don't have a Bible with you, by all means, pick up one of those blue ones there in a pew rack in front of you and turn to the appropriate page. And I'm going to read the entire psalm, which is only eight verses. Psalm 138, I'm beginning at verse number one. Let's give careful attention to God's word. I will praise you, O Lord, with all of my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called you, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord. When they hear the words of your mouth, may they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life and stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands. Well, what can we learn from this brief psalm of thanksgiving? I see at least three attitudes running through those verses that will help you get and stay thankful. Here's the first one. An attitude of praise. An attitude of praise. I want you to look again with me at verses 1 through 3 in another translation. Thank you. Everything in me says thank you. Angels, listen as I sing my thanks. I kneel in worship facing your holy temple and say it again, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. Most holy is your name. Most holy is your word. The moment I called out, you stepped in. You made my life large with strength. Despite having some very serious problems in his life, David praised God with all of his heart. Now, some of you may be saying, now, wait a minute, David was a king. He became a very wealthy, powerful man. Lots of people waiting on him hand and foot. Why shouldn't such a man be grateful? But the Bible tells us many stories about David's life. And he had problems, to say the least. His predecessor, King Saul, became insanely jealous of David, tried to kill him on several occasions. For several years, in fact, David had to hide out in the wilderness because he knew Saul was hunting him down and would kill him if he got a chance. And yes, eventually he did become the king of Israel. But many, many battles followed with Israel's enemies, so much so that God didn't let David build the temple because he said there was just too much blood on David's hands. Now, some of David's worst problems were ones of his own making. There was the monumental moral failure when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and arranged to have her husband killed. And their affair led to Bathsheba getting pregnant, and their illegitimate son died as a judgment from God. David was not a wise father either. His unwillingness, his inability to discipline his own sons led directly to the rebellion of one of them, Absalom. And Absalom came very close to overthrowing his father and taking the kingdom away from him. David had some very high highs, to be sure, but he also had some very low lows. When another man you've heard of was 7 years of age, his family was forced out of their home and he went to work, age 7. When he was 9, his mother died. He lost his job as a store clerk when he was 20. He wanted to go to law school, but he didn't have the education. At age 23, he went into debt to be a partner in a small store. 3 years later, the business partner died, and the resulting debt took years to repay. When he was 28, after courting a girl for 4 years, he asked her to marry him, and she turned him down. On his third try, he was elected to Congress at age 37, but then failed to be reelected. His son died at 4 years of age. When this man was 45, he ran for the Senate and lost. At age 47, he ran for the vice presidency and lost. But at age 51, he was elected president of the United States. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Abraham Lincoln. A man who learned to face discouragement and move beyond it. I forgot some of my American history. Did you know that it was Abraham Lincoln who, in the midst of the Civil War in 1863, established the annual celebration of Thanksgiving? Lincoln had learned how important it is to stop and thank God in the midst of great difficulties. David's attitude here in our psalm reminds me of that song. Remember this one? Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. And he just kept right on thanking God with all of his heart. Why? Well, he gives us some reasons there in verses 1, 2, and 3. He tells us that God is full of unfailing love and faithfulness. In other words, God never let David down, even when David let God down. God always came through for David. He always kept his promises. He answered David's prayers and cries for help. Now, of course, David had his problems, but God had even more solutions than David had problems. Aren't you glad that God has more solutions and you have problems? And David had many occasions to be fearful, but God had more power to deliver him than David had anxious moments. Aren't you glad that God has more power than you have anxiety? And life threw a lot of different stuff at David, but he was able to maintain an attitude of praise because he realized God is faithful through it all. Some people are thankful when they receive God's blessings. Other people continue to be thankful despite life's problems. And that's the kind of person that David turned out to be. How about you? My friend, you are either one or the other. What's that? You're either a person who is thankful only when you receive, or you're thankful despite what you lack. Dr. Martin Luther King Sr. was the father of the famous civil rights leader, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And Martin Sr. was also a pastor like his son, Martin Jr. Martin Sr. said his own mother had told him to always thank God for what was left. And that thought stayed with him his whole life long. And he had reason to think of it, and he had reason to practice it often. Over the course of his long life, Martin Sr. lost both of his sons, as well as his beloved wife, who was shot to death right before his eyes at the organ in the church that he pastored in Atlanta. Can you imagine? Nevertheless, even after all those tremendous losses, Dr. King Sr. liked to say, "Thank God for what's left." There's always enough left in life to make it worth living. There's always a very good reason to be thankful. Now, here's a second attitude that'll help you get and to stay thankful. It's an attitude of humility. Humility. Look with me at the next three verses of this psalm. David says, "When they hear what you have to say, God, all earth's kings will say thank you. They'll sing of what you've done. How great is the glory of God." And here's why. God high above sees far below. No matter the distance, he knows everything about us. Can you hear David's humility? He was overwhelmed by the sheer greatness of God, as he should have been, as you should be, as I should be. The more he knew about God, the more he experienced God personally, the more he learned about God, the more God's bigness and his smallness came into focus. And part of God's greatness from David's perspective was the fact that God cares about creatures that are so far below him in every way. And that includes you and me. You and I have absolutely no claim on God. We have no right to expect anything of him or from him. He owes us nothing. But David reminds us that though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble. One spring afternoon, an older couple came to a church looking for a handout. They were ragged, dirty, claiming to be homeless. They said they didn't want money, they just wanted food. And the pastor took them across the street to a convenience store. And while they waited outside, he bought them each a sub sandwich, chips, and a drink. And he watched as they attacked the food that he provided. And the man took a huge gulp of the soft drink. And then he made a face. And sitting there on the pavement next to the store, he looked up at the pastor and he says, "What's this? Diet?" And the pastor laughed out loud because the Lord allowed him to see himself immediately. How often we all react that way, even to the gifts that God Himself provides. We react in such a way as if to say, "Lord, is that the best you can do?" And we forget that we're totally dependent upon Him for all things. What does it mean to be humble? What does it mean to be proud from God's perspective? Well, I think David assumes here what the Bible teaches elsewhere. Humble people are those who don't think that God owes them special attention. They don't think God owes them anything. They don't expect special treatment in life or expect that everything is going to go their way. When disappointment comes to them, as it comes to everyone, they just kind of shrug their shoulders and move on. They don't blame God for their disappointments. Tell them off. Indulge in bitterness. And when anything good comes their way, when any blessing comes their way, they're truly surprised, they're pleased, they're grateful. They find ways to thank God constantly. Humble person. Who are the proud? Well, proud people are those who think that God does owe them special attention. God is forever their debtor. Proud people believe that God exists to solve their problems and meet their needs. That's why He's there, isn't He? And when disappointment comes to them, they conclude, it's God's fault. He's not who He claims to be. Let me down. And when good stuff does come their way, they expect it and they feel that they deserve it somehow. And that's why it's exactly why it's impossible for proud people to ever be truly thankful. Because when you're entitled to everything, my friend, how can you be thankful for anything? Did you catch the irony in what David says here? On the one hand, he implies that God likes to give special attention to people who don't expect special attention, namely the humble. On the other hand, God moves away from people who think He owes them something, namely the proud. What does that scripture say? Though the Lord is great, He cares for the humble, but He keeps His distance from the proud. And David, despite all of his achievements, was a humble person. How about you? My friend, you are either one or you're the other. Humble or proud. Well, let me underline a third attitude that will help you get and stay thankful. Let's call it an attitude of submission. An attitude of submission. That's what I hear in the final verses of this psalm. When I walk into the thick of trouble, keep me alive in the angry turmoil. With one hand strike my foes, with your other hand save me. Finish what you started in me, God. Your love is eternal. Don't quit on me now. I believe it's significant what David says and what he does not say here. Notice that he never asks God to take away every problem in his life. I don't know about you, but I find that that's the way that I tend to pray a lot of times. Dear God, do not let me have any problems ever. In Jesus' name, amen. And instead, David asks God to preserve him in the midst of his problems. He doesn't say, God, make all of my enemies go away. Instead, he prays, God, give me the strength that I need to deal with my enemies. In other words, God allowed, or David allowed, God to be God. That's the beginning of submission. Letting God be God. Another translation puts that last verse like this: "The Lord will work out His plans for my life, for Your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever." God's in control. God knows best. You know what that is? That's submission. And submission is necessary to thankfulness. You can't have one without the other. 4-year-old Justina's mother was pregnant and expecting soon. And one day, Justina's aunt asked Justina a question. "What do you want, sweetheart? A baby brother or a baby sister?" And with considerable exasperation, Justina said, "Aunt Donna, sometimes you just got to take what God gives you." Oh, that's good theology. That's good theology. Sometimes you just got to take what God gives you. David, a man who exercised kingly authority for much of his life, when it came to God, was submissive. And that submission of heart and mind became a fountain of thanksgiving to God. How about you? My friend, you are either one or the other today. A person who wants to be in charge of your own life, or a person who recognizes that God's in charge of your life all the time, every day. Oliver Wendell Holmes maybe said it best: The great act of faith is when a man decides he is not God. And I would add that it's also the beginning of true thanksgiving. I read recently a story of a woman who grew up in poverty. She grew up in pretty miserable living conditions, but she ended up marrying a man who had money. And he took her to a place where there was flowers and gardens and grass, and they had children. It was a wonderful life. And then she got very sick physically. She went to the hospital. They ran tests on her, and the doctor came into her room and with a long face said, "Your liver is not working. I don't know why, but your liver is not working." And she said, "Doctor, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. Are you saying that I'm dying?" And the doctor stammered a bit and he said, I can't say. All I know is that Your liver is not working, and we can't get it started again." And then he turned and left. Well, the woman said, I knew I was dying, and I was very weak. But I decided I wanted to go to the hospital chapel. And so she got up, and she began making her way down the hallways of the hospital, propping herself up along the wall as she walked because she was so weak. She said, "I wanted to tell God off. I wanted to tell Him, 'God, you're a shyster. For 2,000 years, you've been presenting yourself as a God of love, but when people get happy, you pull the rug out from underneath them. I wanted to tell them all face to face. And she got to the hospital chapel. And for some reason, as she was in the center aisle of that chapel, she tripped and she fainted. And as she looked up, she's face down there on the center aisle, she looked up on the step going up to the altar were inscribed the words, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And she said, at that moment, God spoke to me. She didn't say how God spoke to her, but God spoke into her spirit. And what he said to her in that moment was this: you know what this is about. This is that moment of surrender when you give everything that you are to me. Those doctors out there, they do the best they can. They can treat you, but I alone can cure you. And that woman lay there in that center aisle of that hospital chapel, and for a long time, with her head in her folded arms, simply prayed, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And then she got up and she made her way back to her hospital bed. The next day, the doctors came in. They did the blood test. They did the urine analysis. And they came in and they said, "Your liver's working again. We don't know why. We don't know why it stopped. We don't know why it started up again." And that woman said to herself, "Oh, I know. I know. God brought me to the brink of disaster so that I might turn, surrender, and put my trust in Him." Thanksgiving is about my praise of God. Thanksgiving is about my humility before God. And maybe most of all, Thanksgiving is about my submission to God. Happy Thanksgiving. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for this national holiday. It's not something that your word says that we're supposed to observe, but our country has, over the years, established this wonderful observance, a day to give thanks. But Father, we know that as your people, Thanksgiving is a way of life, an expression of praise, expression of humility, an expression of submission. And we give you thanks today for all that you are, all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.